bless everyone.
I'm
happy to be here tonight to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. It has always been a joy in my heart to be in Honduras, to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I think there is no better place I could have been tonight than to be in the house of the Lord among these precious people here. Our language now is a barrier, but there is coming a day when there will be no more barriers in language. We'll all have one language. We'll all have one language. And we'll be all looking to one person. And we'll be all looking to one person. The one who we prayed to all these years. The one who we talk about all these years. And the one who we worship all these years. We will see him face to face. And he will take his lovely hands. He will take his lovely hands. And he will wipe the tears from our eyes. And we will have to cry no more. So I want to encourage you all, saints of God, to keep pressing the battle with all that's within you. God bless you all.
Is a river. Jesus said he had believed in me, as the scripture said. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Bible says the Spirit and the bride say come. He that is athirst, let him come and drink. Out of the river of the water of life. Amen. In that pyramid city there's a river. And flowing out of the throne. I believe there's part of that city here tonight. And that river is flowing out here tonight. With water as clear as crystal. May we drink and be refreshed tonight. May it wash away everything that needs to be washed away. Amen. We've come to the last service. The Bible says in the last great day of the feast, Jesus said, if any man is athirst, let him come. Amen. So I think it's appropriate we should sing that. Amen. I want to say I certainly enjoy being here. And it's been a really wonderful thing I believe that the Lord has done. After all the pressures and battles to come, I remember the first night I walked in the building here. And the presence of the Lord is already in the building. I felt so encouraged to come and preach that first service. Because in my heart, I have such a great respect and admiration for many of the saints here whom I've come to know and have had opportunity to spend time and fellowship with them, and always come to a great privilege when the Lord would make a way to come. I just wish some of the brothers would come and visit me sometimes. Amen. So the same way you hear the message interpreted to you and you're still blessed with it, the brothers could come and preach the message and have it interpreted there, and we could be blessed with it also. Amen. So I sincerely mean that. Amen. That the brothers, the ministers here would come. Amen. God would make a way for them. Because the people back home, they know we leave ever so often to come here. And the most that they know you by is a photograph or something. And sometimes we play the tape back in service so they could share in the blessing. And it's such a great blessing for them hearing the singing many times. Amen. So it'd be real good that we could have you visit us also. We'll try to do everything within our hearts and within our ability to make you feel welcome. Amen. So may God richly bless you and all the servants of God, the ministers that are here. I heard there were quite a few of them in the meeting. Some I know by face and name. I didn't have the chance to shake everyone's hand, but maybe tonight after the meeting is finished, I get the opportunity to shake your hand. I certainly appreciate the ministers leaving the churches and coming to give support in the meetings, to pray for us and bring in the word. Amen. And I certainly appreciate the faith in the people. They make it so easy to preach standing here. That sometimes, you know, I think I hold you too long. But you're such an easy people to preach to. Amen. So may in this last service tonight, the Holy Spirit do something special. Amen. Something that would touch our hearts in such a way that we could serve Him without reservation. Amen. That we could surrender everything. Amen. We will find a greater strength. Sometimes we feel weak when we think about surrendering and giving up everything. We feel insecure because we learn to depend on what we can see and what we can touch. But His strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. The very thing that you feel that is going to make you unable to really serve Him and have the victory, that's the place where you find the greatest strength. Because He is faithful and true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised it. And let us believe it in all our hearts. Amen. As you bow our heads for a word of prayer, I'd like Brother Elias to pray.
Bondadoso Padre, te agradecemos por todo este privilegio, Padre, de poder congregarnos, Señor, Padre, esta noche aquí, Señor. Gracias por la palabra que ha sido hablada, Padre. Y, Padre, esperando estamos en lo que les será dado esta noche. Aleluya. Esperando estamos, Señor, en la unción de tu Espíritu Santo. Padre, que pueda tomar la palabra con espaldos vivos que es, Padre, y penetre lo más profundo del corazón, Señor. Padre, corte al entrar y corte al salir. Revela, Padre, nuestras faltas. Sufre lo que necesitamos para el mejor servicio hacia ti, Padre. Oh Dios, que venga tu Espíritu sobre la palabra hablada. Glorifica nuestro corazón, que cada uno pueda tener fruto digno, Padre. Fruto, Padre, perfecto. Fruto del Espíritu, Padre. Padre, toca tu gente. Sabe que necesita un toque especial de tu poder. Padre, que esta sea la noche, Señor. Que esta sea la hora donde pueden ser tocados, Padre. Si alguien necesita liberación, Padre, que esta sea la hora. Sea el momento, Padre, que alguien pueda ser fortalecido en el poder, Señor. Padre, sale enfermo. Ponme tu palabra, elena poderosa, Padre. Hoy toma control pleno, Padre, por ti. No tenemos sujeto en tu nombre, Padre, por la palabra. Oh Dios, sabemos, Señor, que tú harás más grande lo que te hemos conferido. Padre, lo ponemos en tus manos. Crecemos por todos estos días de estar llegados y estar sentados en lugares celestiales. Padre, nos pongo en tus manos, Padre, para que quede este culto, para que sea un culto de tratamiento, que sea una hora especial, que nos haga irnos de aquí reflexionando de lo grande y lo bueno que ha sido, Padre, de las bondades tuyas, Señor, que hemos recibido de estar aquí en la casa, Señor. Padre, y podemos reflexionar en estos tiempos, cuando vengan tiempos difíciles, Señor, y a pensar en ellos, Señor, nos dé confort y fortaleza de buscar, Señor, estos días de estar juntos en lugares celestiales en Cristo Jesús. Padre, te encomendamos a ti este día, te encomendamos a ti, nuestro hermano, Padre, y cada corazón, en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén. Amén.
Amen. I'd like to read from St. John chapter 3 and Numbers
21.
We're going to read from the book of Numbers first. We're going to begin reading from verse 5, Numbers 21. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and I was so loathed this light bread.
No hay pan ni agua y nuestra alma tiene fastidio de este pan tan liviano.
And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died.
Y Jehová envió entre el pueblo serpientes ardientes, que volvían al pueblo y murió mucho pueblo.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee.
Entonces el pueblo vino a Moisés y dijo, hemos pecado por haber hablado contra Jehová y contra ti.
Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people.
Ruega a Jehová que quite de nosotros estas serpientes. Y Moisés oró por el pueblo.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.
Y Jehová dijo a Moisés, hazte una serpiente. Ponla sobre una asta.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Y cualquiera que fuere mordido y mirase a ella vivirá.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived.
Y Moisés hizo una serpiente de bronce y la puso sobre una asta y cuando alguna serpiente mordía a alguno, miraba la serpiente de bronce y vivía.
Aleluya. Amen. See in John chapter 3.
San Juan, capítulo 3.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Había un hombre entre los fariseos que se llamaba Nicodemo, un principal entre los judíos.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God.
Este vino Jesús de noche y le dijo, Rabí, sabemos que has venido de Dios.
For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Oh maestro, porque nadie puede hacer estas señales que tú haces si Dios no está Dios con él.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Respondió Jesús y le dijo, de cierto te digo, que el que no naciere de nuevo no puede ver el reino de Dios.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old?
Nicodemo le dijo, ¿cómo puede un hombre nacer siendo viejo?
Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
¿Puede acaso entrar por segunda vez en el vientre de su madre y nacer?
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Pues respondió Jesús, de cierto te digo, que el que no naciere de agua y del Espíritu no puede entrar en el reino de Dios.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Lo que es nacido de la carne, carne es, y lo que es nacido del Espíritu, Espíritu es.
Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again.
No te maravilles de que te dije, os es necesario nacer de nuevo.
The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
El viento sopla de donde quiere, y oyes su sonido, mas no sabes de dónde viene ni a dónde va. Así es todo aquel que es nacido del Espíritu.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?
Respondió Nicodemo y le dijo, ¿cómo puede hacerse esto?
Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a teacher of Israel and knoweth not these things?
Respondió Jesús y dijo, ¿eres tú maestro de Israel y no sabes esto?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify to that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness.
De cierto, te digo que lo que sabemos, hablamos, y lo que hemos visto, testificamos, y no recibís nuestro testimonio.
If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?
Si os he dicho cosas terrenales, y no creéis, ¿cómo creeréis si os dijere las celestiales?
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven.
Nadie subió al cielo, sino el que descendió del cielo, el Hijo del Hombre,
está en el cielo.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Y como Moisés levantó la serpiente en el desierto, así es necesario que el Hijo del Hombre sea levantado.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna.
May the Lord have his blessing in the reading of his word. May have his...
Que Dios bendiga la lectura de su palabra.
If you notice in St. John chapter 3, in verse 7, Jesus said, you must be born again. And in verse 14, he says, Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. There is two musts. It's absolutely necessary. The word must is a little word. Just four letters. But it's a powerful word. It means compulsion or obligation. It's absolutely compulsory. It means requirement or prerequisite. You must be born again. It's a requisite. It's a requirement. It means inevitability or certainty. It's inevitable. Amen. You cannot get into the kingdom of God without it. It's a certainty. It also means an absolute requirement. Amen. Unavoidable responsibility. It also means of cardinal importance. And it means absolutely necessary. To think that one little four-letter word could mean so much. That you must be born again. It's absolutely necessary. Amen. It's a compulsion. It's a requirement. It's inevitable. Amen. Then it also says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. It was necessary that Jesus had to die. Hallelujah. It was compulsory. If we had to live, the penalty of God had to be met. Hallelujah. It is necessary that Elijah must come before all things could be restored. Amen. Glory. So as we look at this word must, it has a very strong meaning. When that word is used in the Bible, it's speaking of a necessity arising from the determinate will of God. Amen. In St. Matthew chapter 17, maybe we could turn to some of the scriptures quickly. Verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?
Entonces los discípulos le preguntaron diciendo, ¿por qué pues dicen los escribas que es necesario que el día venga primero?
Amen. He must come first. Because the word comes to a prophet. And Elijah had to be there. That was the way God planned it. That a forerunner will come. Amen. And the Messiah will be revealed by the forerunner. Look at Matthew 24, verse 6. 24, verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Oiréis de guerras y rumores de guerras, mirad que no os turbéis, porque es necesario que todo esto acontezca.
Amen. A woman before she gives birth must have pain and trouble and distress. Amen. And the earth must have all these things. Amen. It must go through that. So we're not worried. Amen. Because it must be. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet of the Lord, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's inevitable. Amen. It's absolutely necessary. Amen. First inherit the kingdom. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. So I want you to notice, every time this word is being used, it's arising out of the determinate will and purpose of God. It is what God has predetermined to happen. Especially regarding the salvation of man through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Let's read verse 21st. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. Look at Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. God's will. Amen. His determinate counsel. And we see that when he uses that word must, it has to deal especially with the salvation of man. Elijah must first come. This mortal must put on immortality. You must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Amen. The heavens must receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. So I want to take for a little title tonight. You must be born again. You must be born again. Therefore, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Amen. If he was not lifted up, we can never be born again. Amen. The reason why we can be born again, because he was lifted up. And Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness. Why was Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness? People was perishing. They was dying. They was bitten by the serpent. They had sinned. And death was working in their members. And they was heading to the grave. Hallelujah. Moses didn't give them an injection. He didn't give them some syrup to drink. He looked around the camp. His people are dying everywhere. Something was happening to his people. How did a shepherd feel when he looked at his church and his people dying? He don't know what to do. He goes to God. He begins to pray. He begins to seek God for revelation. He wants to bring life to his people. Something that can abolish debt. Something that can destroy the power of debt. Something that can bring immortality and life to light. What did God tell Moses? God had the remedy. God dropped down a revelation to Moses. God was speaking to his prophet. The prophet is catching the mystery in the mind of God. As the mystery unfolded, he said, take one of them serpents, a brass serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up in the camp, tell the people, look and live. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I can imagine Moses when the revelation broke to him. He was coming back to his dying church. But there was back in a revelation that will remove death from among his people. Amen! How does a minister feel when he breaks into that seventh seal? The seal of life! And he can come to his church with a revelation to drive away death from around them. To bring them out. Where you can tell them sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin is the sting of death. Sin is the sting of death. Is that what the Bible says? It says sin is the sting of death. And that serpent, the devil, he was named under the fourth seal. Hallelujah! And his name was death. Hallelujah! But there's something could drive that death back. Amen. So look at Moses. He knew he heard from God. He knew God spoke to him. He knew God revealed his thoughts to him. He knew that sin will not have dominion over his people no more. Death will have dominion over them no more. They could say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Hallelujah. marching on to the promise. Hallelujah. And Jesus, the first doctrine he preached was you must be born again. The human race was bitten by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and the human race was dying. But Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, he had the mystery, he had the revelation that the hour had come, that death would be abolished. Amen. Hallelujah. In the Bible, in 2 Timothy 1, he's speaking about death being abolished. The appearing of our Savior had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, he was speaking. He says, He destroyed the power of death. Amen. Through death, he destroyed him who had the power of death. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here Jesus was preaching to Nicodemus. And this man wanted to know. He wanted to know who Jesus really was. They had a partial revelation. He said, Lord, we know you are a teacher come from God. No man can do these things except God be with him. Amen. You know, sometimes you see something happening. You see the word moving in a man. You see the supernatural following the man. It attracts your attention. Something in your heart desires to know more about it. But the Bible, you know, it's such a tremendous book. When we see Jesus beginning his ministry, we see him coming forth to begin to teach. His first doctrine went right to the problem that the human race had. Amen! Hallelujah! He went right to the birth. He went right to that nature. Hallelujah! He began to deal with the sin question, because he came to bring life. Amen! Glory! Now, when man was created by God in the beginning, he was made in God's image and likeness. But when man was born of a woman, he was conceived in sin and shaped iniquity. And he bears the image and likeness of a fallen creature. That is different. A man born of a woman and a man created by God. Amen. Man born of a woman, he entered into this world with the image of his fallen parent stamped upon him. Amen. And Jesus, he came and he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now let's get a picture right. Let's look into that picture and see something. This wasn't a sinner. This wasn't a drunkard out in the street somewhere. This was a ruler of the Jews. This man belonged to the strictest sect. He was a teacher in Israel. This man was a priest. This was a holy man. If he wasn't living right, he'd have died. Amen. These men's lives were blameless. condition.
En su condición más moral que había.
Amen. That Adamic nature.
Esa naturaleza adámica.
Was at its moral peak.
Estaba en su punto más elevado moralmente hablando.
Nicodemus represented the human race.
Nicodemus representaba la raza humana.
In the height of its moral condition.
En su cima de su condición moral.
Amen. The most refined a man could be.
Lo más refinado que el hombre podía llegar.
The most polished a man nature could be. The most religious a man could be. Amen. As high as a man could attain. Amen. Without the new birth. That was Nicodemus right there. He was a symbol of that. And Jesus' first message was the man at his best on the earth. Hallelujah! Saying, you must be born again. Hallelujah! Glory! So if he's saying that, if we are looking at man at his most refined state, at his most religious condition, where are you going to start if you don't have the new birth? If you are not born of water and spirit, on what basis will you enter? Because he showed Nicodemus right away. Everything had to be set aside. Man in his best estate had to be totally set aside. If I must be born again, I must have a new life. I must have a new nature. Amen. It don't matter what I can boast of.
No importa de lo que yo me puedo jactar.
He never said you must try and be better. Or you must turn a new leaf. If Jesus had told Nicodemus that, he wouldn't ask, how can these things be? We are holy as night. At the end of the year. You make a resolution. I wouldn't drink for the new year. I wouldn't smoke for the new year. I'm going to turn a new leaf. Everybody does that. Amen. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He wasn't speaking about a change of conduct. Or a change of character. Well, I'm going to try to refine myself. I'm going to change my image. I'm going to try to, you know, go to one of these schools where they can train you how to walk and how to talk and do all these things. They have these courses today. The total woman. Amen. My. It don't work, friend. Because Jesus wasn't talking about self-improvement. He wasn't talking about moral reform. He said, you must be born again. It's absolute necessary. Amen. Glory. It's not a reformation. It's regeneration. Not improving the old life. Is receiving a new life. How can we get this new life then? In verses 14 and 15, we see Nicodemus wondering how he's going to get this new life. And we find that Jesus, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. He was the fountain of all wisdom. He was the Word. He was the author of the Word. He was the revelation of the Word. Amen. He looks back in the Bible. Out of all the places in the Bible, Jesus singled out a particular place to reveal the mystery of the new birth. Hallelujah. He looked back in the first Exodus to a
amongst these people.
Para poder traer liberación a su
vida. But it wasn't just an ordinary symbol.
Pero era un símbolo ordinario.
Because we notice that the symbol that Jesus picked out from the Bible, without brass serpent being lifted up, it had its roots back in the book of Genesis. Amen. Because Genesis is the first place we find about the serpent. And the serpent is connected with the first birth. Hallelujah! The serpent is connected with the fall. It was because of the serpent. It was because of the serpent that Jesus' promise was given. The woman shall receive a seed. And the woman's seed will bruise the serpent's head. And Jesus was that woman's seed. And he came to bruise the serpent's head. Hallelujah! So Jesus was opening up this mystery.
Así que Jesús abrió el misterio
of the new birth.
Nuevo
he picked up a symbol,
él tomó un símbolo
of sin being judged.
Del pecado juzgado.
Because brass signifies judgment.
Porque el bronce significa juicio.
And the serpent was a symbol of sin.
Y el serpiente, símbolo de pecado.
It is a symbol of the devil.
Del diablo.
Amen! Hallelujah! And yes, sin was being judged. It was the mystery in God's mind. It was a mystery. Amen. When Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, he was lifting up the mystery of Christ on the cross. The Lamb that was slain in the back part of God, upon the Son of Man lifted up and lived. Hallelujah! And Moses lifted up the brass serpent. In the first Exodus, Moses lifted up the brass serpent. In the second Exodus, Paul was lifting up the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Hallelujah! On the cross. That revelation has come back in the last days. Amen. Has been restored. The Son of Man has been revealed again. That men can lift it up. That men can lift it up.
Para que el hombre lo pueda levantar otra vez.
Amen. They're dying people in the message. They come out of the Exodus. They're bitten by the serpent. Amen. But it's going to take a revelation. The revelation of the Son of Man. The seventh seal. To be lifted up. Hallelujah. It will bring life among the people. Amen. So Jesus, looking back in the Old Testament, picked out that special place. He wanted to bring it so close to
Nicodemus.
He wanted to delay scripturally for him. So he could have a place to base his faith. So he could understand the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory! He said, I know a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? You don't have a revelation in your birth? Then what are you teaching? Amen! That's where you have to start. Amen! Because without the revelation of the new birth, you can't bring life. You can't remove death. Amen! Oh, you can't bring the people to a change. You have a church full of unconverted people. Religious. Polish. You might put strict church order.
Usted puede poner orden estricta de iglesia.
To regiment and control the people. You can't talk in church. You sit in your seat. You don't move yet. But if they have no life, they wouldn't come in the resurrection anyhow. Amen. It's going to take the new birth. And Jesus began to open it up scripturally. He went back in the Bible. He went right back to where death started. Where death came into the human race. Where the serpent bit the woman. Hallelujah. And then Adam went willfully. Amen. And through Adam, through one man, Romans 5, 12 to 21, right there it explains the whole thing, how death came into the human race, and in Adam all die, because of poison, from the serpent bite, come into the human race. When we were born by that birth, we're born with a poison inside of us. We're born dying. Amen. Glory. So Jesus was showing Nicodemus that without that brass serpent lifted up in the wilderness, for the serpent bitten people, they would have all perished. You think about Moses, seeing his people dying, asking the pastor Moses, what can you do for us? We are sorry. We repent. But how to come out of under the dominion of sin? We are dying. We see the grave before us. We have no victory over it. What to do, Pastor Moses? Amen. Moses didn't try to bring some philosophy. He didn't get some well-worn explanation. He didn't try to make an educated guess. Amen. He went back into the Word. He began to see God. Hallelujah. Oh, he began to cry out. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God spoke to Moses. Oh my, God told him what to do. He had the revelation. And he believed it. Because he went and made the brass serpent. Hallelujah. And he wasn't ashamed to come into church with his revelation. Hallelujah. He knew he heard from God. He was under expectation. Maybe some of the people was kind of curious. Maybe they were suspicious. They never seen Moses come with that before. They wondered where he get that from. Some had their reservations. They were standing afar off. But Moses was under expectation that God would back it up among the people. That God will confirm it among the people. Amen. Glory. And when the people begin to see the effect of the revelation, then the faith begins to rise. Hallelujah. Because they saw the Word being manifested. They begin to see the deliverance. They begin to get confidence that Moses really get that from God. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! Oh, that we can get into the Word. The Word is God. Into the pillar of fire. The Logos. And come back out with the revelation that could bring life. Amen. To remove the debt. That there could be life in the camp. Amen. Jesus, what if Moses never raised it up?
What if Moses?
¿Qué si Moisés nunca lo hubiese levantado?
What if God didn't talk to him?
¿Qué si Dios no hubiese hablado?
They would have all perished.
Todos hubiesen
perecido. The race would cease to exist.
Hubieran dejado de existir.
Uh-huh. Amen. But this human race, the elected seed, will go all the way into the millennium and into the new city. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God had determined that He would bring them back to Eden. So they had to have something. While the world was perishing, graveyards was becoming bigger. The first graveyard was outside of Eden. Today every country around the world have a graveyard. They have hospitals everywhere, sick and dying people, but there will not be one hospital. There will be not one graveyard in that new city. Amen. Glory. Why? Death has been abolished. Amen. But it takes somebody to prove it. Glory. And Moses knew death was abolished. It was revealed to him that to make an atonement and lift it up, because that atonement signified that sin was judged. The requirement of God was met. The enmity was removed. And the people could pass out from under the dominion of death and come back into life. What life? Life that they had before the serpent bit them. Hallelujah. These people were marching. They had no death in them. They had no serpent biting them. They had joy and peace and happiness. God was in the midst, meeting every need, and the serpent bit them. Then death began to work in the members. Then they came under the dominion of death. Amen. Sin reigning over them. Amen. Glory. But then here was something happening to abolish death. You find like you're dying spiritually. You find like you're dying. Amen. You can't seem to have victory in your life. There's a lack of power. Like you're going down. No power to read the word. No power to pray. No power to worship God. No power to resist sin. You find you just come into church and going through the religious motions. Your children going out in the world. Your home falling apart. It seems like you just can't seem to get a hold of God. Amen. You can look and live tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. And Moses lifted up the bronze serpent. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. In every Exodus. In every Exodus, God lifts up that atonement. Amen. In the first Exodus, that was the Son of Man being lifted up in the form of a brass serpent, a symbol of the Son of Man. In the second Exodus, amen, he was lifted up again. This spake he, signifying what death he should die. St. John 12, amen. And in these last days, that revelation, the fullness have come through the opening of the seven seals, that we can see what Christ did accomplish for us. And it has been displayed through the life of a prophet. And we see a man created by the spoken word. A man who lived a life that God said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Amen. Glory. A man who overcame in this evil age. Amen. And that is the same promise to everyone that is part of the word for this day. So Jesus was showing Nicodemus that it's absolutely necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up in order that a man must be born again and have eternal life. Amen. Because the poison of that serpent bite, which contaminated Adam and Eve, came into the bloodstream, and sin, the sting of death, the serpent, entered into the world. Amen. So right here, in St. John 3, here is God the Redeemer. And here is man at its highest moral condition. And he's showing him that you have to be born again. But you can't receive it until I be lifted up. And I must go to the cross. No man take my life. I am being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Unto this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So here Jesus, with that revelation, amen, was showing Nicodemus that the Son of Man was going to be lifted up. The death of the second Adam, the Son of Man, is the only ground for life. It's the only basis upon which a man could receive life. Amen. One look at Christ. Lift it up. Amen. There is nothing like a Christian who has not been to Calvary. You say, "I'm a Christian." And you have never had a revelation of Calvary? No, no, you don't understand what a Bible Christian is. Amen. That is the place where all men see him. That is the place where all men see him. When the Greeks came to see Jesus, sirs, we would see Jesus. He didn't point them to his baptism. He didn't point them to where he was born. In the manger in Bethlehem. Except a corner which fall in the ground and die. It abides alone. Amen. So the death of Christ, the Son of Man being lifted up, is the only basis for life to a fallen man. Amen. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Why must he be lifted up? Because I must be born again. I must have new life. And that life is in the Son of Man. And it can only be mine through his death. Amen! There's no other way to get that life outside of his death. Amen! So the first thing that is necessary, for a fallen person, anyone who is born by sex, is to know that he was bitten. Amen. If you don't realize that your birth condemns you, That's what we have been preaching through the services. Like Hezekiah. He tried to plead his good works before God. Amen. You don't try to present that, friend. Amen. You come God's providing way. The only way for any person who was bitten to live was to look upon the Son of Man lifted up. Amen. It didn't have two ways or three ways. The prophet said, come and look and live. Amen. So when a person knows that that poison is in them, that nature, and that nature is condemned, amen, then they'll be concerned about the condition. Because they know they can't educate themselves into the kingdom. You can't try to do good works to enter the kingdom. No. It's gonna, he that believes it and is baptized. But your baptism is only your identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. With the Son of Man being lifted up. Amen. But you have to believe it first. Amen. You believe first. Amen. Then you repent when you believe. Amen. Glory. So what? So if one of those Israelites, who was it, following Moses, they wasn't concerned about the condition, then they were going to stay right there and die. Though there was a provided way, somebody might have told him. They might have seen him drinking all kind of syrup, trying to take injections, trying to do penance, or doing different things. And they may say, no, there's a prophet, and the prophet has the remedy. God revealed to him what to do, and all you need to do is go up there and believe. Amen. But if they said, oh, I have nothing to that. It's too far to go up there. Amen. Then they're going to stay home and die. Amen. He had to know that there was a God provided remedy. What about if a man look at a brass serpent and think that is just maybe a little ornament? And he related to it just like a little relic. It's not going to do nothing for him.
No va a hacer nada para él.
How do you relate to the message?
¿Cómo se relaciona usted con el mensaje?
Just another religion?
¿Es otra religión?
Just a different teaching?
¿Es una enseñanza distinta?
Or do you see that God, the God provided way? To bring total deliverance. Amen! So many lives are being destroyed today. Because they don't know God provided way. Amen! They have to know about it. They have to recognize that that was God's way. Amen. They have to know that they was bitten. And God had a way to take them out of it. And they had to approach that way with confidence. Amen. When you come to church, what it is to you? Do you see a shepherd lifting up the Son of Man? The God provided remedy? Do you approach it with faith? Do you recognize that all nature in you, you will die. That the poison of the serpent biting you. But that minister with that message, by the foolishness of preaching, is the way God chose to save you, to give you faith, to look and live, and to recognize what God has done. Amen. Then you have to know also that it was of no effect until it was applied. You may say, you know, I like how they're doing the books now. They have the prophet picture in the back of it. And I like the cover that they put on it. Amen. And it's just a nice ornament to you. Amen. It has no effect. That'll bring deliverance. It's applying the word. Hallelujah. If a man had refused to look at it, he was going to die. Amen. If a person refused to accept Christ as a savior, they will die. That is God provided way. Amen. It wasn't just the brass serpent. It was the look of faith that brought the healing. The look and the belief. They wasn't gazing at it. They wasn't staring at it. They were looking with faith. With expectation. Amen. Hallelujah. And God had promised. One look. With faith. We're going to bring the salvation. We're going to bring the deliverance. Isn't that nothing complicated? Amen. A shepherd. Standing there. With a serpent on the rod. Lifted up among the people. In the second Exodus, when Jesus saw them, he says, you snakes in the grass. Amen. The ecclesiastical serpents was biting the people with the poison doctrine. Hallelujah! And you know the serpent is very polished. Very beautiful. Very wise. Amen. Yes, sir. But his bite is deadly too. And when Jesus saw them serpents in the grass, amen, he warned the disciples. Because he knew the bite of that false doctrine was death. Amen. You see them today. Baptist serpents bite them. Catholic serpents bite them. Pentecostal serpents bite them. They're dying. Amen. But is somebody going to lift up the Son of Man? Hallelujah. And they can look with faith. They can live. Hallelujah. Because when this true atonement is revealed and lifted up in the last days, all those people who have the sting of death will come to a full, complete redemption. In the first Exodus, they went on to receive the promise. In the second Exodus, when they saw the Son of Man lifted up, they come into an earnest of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But in the last days, when the Son of Man is lifted up, they're going to come into a full, complete redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. In every Exodus, in the first Exodus, Moses lifted up that brass serpent. In the second Exodus, Paul lifted up the revelation of that same atonement.
Pablo levantó la revelación de la misma intención.
But in reality form.
Pero en forma de realidad.
And in the third Exodus.
Y en el tercer Exodus.
Malachi 4 lifted up that.
Malaquías 4 lo levantó también.
Amen. Amen. Remember the vision with the binding of the mamba?
Recuerda la visión de atar la mamba?
Amen. The death was, the bite was death.
La mordidura era muerte.
He said in these last days.
En el último día, digo.
Amen. But he had something
pero tenía algo
that could bind that serpent in the
knot.
Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! So when that brass serpent was lifted up,
así cuando la serpiente de bronce fue levantada,
it represented a dead serpent.
Representaba una serpiente muerta,
judged and destroyed.
Juzgada y destruida.
Its power was broken.
Su poder quebrantado.
It no longer had the sting of death.
Pero tenía la guijón de muerte.
Amen! Amen. Death, which was having dominion over many people,
muerte que tenía dominio sobre mucha gente,
in the camp,
en el campamento,
was being abolished.
Estaba siendo abolida.
Different ones began to testify.
Diferente gente comenzó a testificar.
I'm delivered.
Yo estoy liberado.
Something happened in my life.
Algo pasó en mi vida.
I went to the service last night.
Yo estuve en el culto anoche.
The minister was preaching.
El ministro predicó.
I look and live. He said, the death left me. Today I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah! I pass from death unto life. Glory! Amen! It was made actual in the experience. It wasn't just mind over matter. The people were sweating.
La gente estaba sudando.
The poison was working through them. Death was in the members of the body. Death is in the members of this body right now. There's a law of sin. Amen!
Hallelujah!
Where did it come from? The serpent bite. Amen. But thank God tonight. Amen. The Son of Man is lifted up. Glory be to God. Amen. What a tremendous thing it was. While he was dying. And the people, you know, they could hardly do the work.
They maybe
was laying on a stretcher.
Tal vez estaban tirados en una camilla.
And all they could see is death.
Y todo lo que podían ver alrededor era muerte.
They couldn't lift up their hand and praise God no more.
No podían levantar la mano y alabar a Dios.
They couldn't speak and praise Him no more.
No podían ni hablar para alabarle.
The eyes was getting dim.
Los ojos ya estaban oscureciéndose.
The air was getting deaf.
Los oídos estaban poniendo sordos.
The feet couldn't walk no more.
Los pies ya no podían caminar.
Amen. But the prophet, he was coming with a message. Glory be to God. He was in the presence of God. He was coming with deliverance. It might look ordinary in his hand. Amen. But that atonement had the power to remove all sickness, to remove all death. The people recognized what was happening to them.
It's
just a little bit harder. I can give God an applause. I can shout and praise Him. I can read God's word. I can hear what the minister is saying. I can believe it in my heart. Amen. It was being made actual in their own experience. Amen. They can say, I know I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Somebody, the family might be digging graves for some of them. Had the hole in the back of the house. They don't have no hope for this boy. They have no hope for this girl. I know she's gone. And they had the grave there. But they walk into a meeting. And a man was lifting up the brass serpent. They come home running. Mama wants to know what happened. Papa wants to know what happened. And they look to the window. And they see the grave. There's an old grave. Where is your victory? Hallelujah. Amen. Something happened to them. Hallelujah. Oh, my. If Moses could do that, if people could have such faith, with a man lifting a piece of brass in the first Exodus, how much greater it is tonight when a man would stand up, when a man would stand up and lift up the Son of Man, break that seventh seal. Hallelujah! That you can look and live. Then you can pass from a mental faith into a spiritual revelation. You can pass from a moral life into a spiritual life. You can pass from a filial love into a agape love. Hallelujah! You can look and live tonight. From the carnal nature to the divine nature. Amen! Glory! It's happening again, friend. That sting of death, that poison, could no longer work inside of them. There was something paralyzed the effects of it. There was something destroyed the power of it. Amen! And those people came out from under the dominion of sin and death into life when they believed. Amen. God provided a way of deliverance for their condition. They accepted it. They identified with it. Amen. He who had the power of death was destroyed when that brass serpent was lifted up, because it represented it judged, its head crushed. They didn't have to fear death no more. They didn't have to be in bondage of death no more, because he took death that he might destroy him who had the power of death. He abolished death and he brought life, eternal life and immortality to light. Before the serpent bit us in the Garden of Eden, the life we had, we're going to speak to a storm. We're going to create a squirrel. We're going to speak to a tree. We're going to speak to a tree. We're going to speak to the wind. And it will obey us. Amen. But then the serpent bit us. Amen. And we begin to die. But then God lifted up the Son of Man. Hallelujah! That we can come back into the life that we had before we were bitten. Because those people, a man might have said, I could have run, but since the serpent bit me, I need a crutch. I'm paralyzed. A man might say, I could have seen so clear, but since the serpent bite me, I get blind. A man said, I could have believed, I had a good heart, but since that serpent bite me, it's only heart attack. Amen. But since I look on that pole, hallelujah, I come back into the life I had before I was bitten. Look at Peter and them. When they saw him lifted up, they pass out from under death. They come back into a life. Then again, such as I have, give I unto you. Amen. Glory. So look at Moses. Jesus was showing Nicodemus that it was because of a definite condition. Amen. A definite condition existed among the people.
Una condición definida existía en la gente.
And God gave a definite remedy. Amen? Exactly. Now let's turn to a little scripture here. I'll give you right to close. 2 Kings. Chapter 18. Verse 1 to 4. Now it came to pass in the 30th of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign.
En el tercer año de Oseas, hijo de Ela, rey de Israel, comenzó a reinar Ezequías, hijo de Acaz, rey de Judá.
25 years old was he when he began to reign.
Cuando comenzó a reinar, era de 25 años.
And when he began, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem.
Y reinó en Jerusalén 29 años.
His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah.
El nombre de su madre fue Abí, hija de Zacarías.
And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did.
Hizo lo recto ante los ojos de Jehová, conforme a todas las cosas que había hecho David su padre.
He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the idols.
Él quitó los lugares altos y cerró las imágenes y cortó los símbolos de acera.
Thank God for ministers.
Gracias por ministros.
Who will remove the high places?
Que pueden remover los lugares altos.
And break up the images.
Y quebrar las imágenes.
And cut down the idols. Fashion idols and sports idols and movie idols. Amen. And look at this now. And broke in pieces the brass serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and call it Nehushtan.
E hizo pedazo la serpiente de bronce que había hecho Moisés. Porque hasta entonces le quemaban incienso los hijos de Israel, la llamaban Nehushtan.
Amen. Look at another season. After the prophet came, revealed his atonement, lifted up among the people, and people could approach him with faith, and pass out from under the dominion of it, of death. And come into life. Amen. Amen. Now that very thing had become an idol. People was approaching it now with superstition. With a little incense. Amen. The very channel of revelation from which the blessings of God had flowed. When it was approached with faith and sincerity, was not being approached with superstition and insincerity, and it was being idolized, and they was relating to this work with a different attitude now, with a different purpose, which was totally unscriptural. Amen. And look at what's happened today. In another season. The same atonement. That brought deliverance. Was becoming an idolatry. Amen. Now we see that same spirit moving today. Trying to idolize the very channel of revelation that was lifted up in this Exodus by this prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Malachi 4. A prophet like Moses lifted up the Son of Man. Amen. To some people, the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. It's just a little ornament on a chain. Say, I'm a Christian. Say, I'll get a nice chain of the cross.
O a conseguir una buena cadenita con una cruz.
Or I get two earrings with a cross on it.
O conseguir algunas argollitas de las orejas para con una cruz.
Amen. Or they have, or some little Christian emblem.
O tal vez una, un símbolo que se pega de cristianismo.
That you could buy in a gospel store.
Que usted puede comprar en una tienda de libros bíblicos.
Amen. Amen. And they wear that thinking they're a Christian.
Y ellos usan eso pensando que son cristianos.
And they don't even have any revelation.
Y no tienen nada de revelación.
Of the redemptive work that took place on the cross.
De la obra redentora que tomó lugar en la cruz del Calvario.
They are not even crucified under the world with Christ.
Ellos no están ni crucificados al mundo con Cristo.
Amen. Look at the medical doctors today. They have the symbol of the serpent and the pole. That is a symbol of divine healing. Yet many of them doctors don't believe in God. Don't believe in divine healing. It's just a symbol of the profession to them. And so many people that are a symbol of the cross. But the life is not a crucified life. There is no power in that life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when those seven seals opened on this day,
abrieron,
it revealed to us
reveló,
the true achievement
el otro real
of that work of, on the cross.
Esa obra que se llevó en la cruz.
But what is happening?
Pero ¿qué pasa?
So many drifting back in the world today.
Tanta gente regresando al mundo hoy,
because they never had a real revelation.
Porque nunca tuvieron la revelación real.
And they never come to a real identification.
Y nunca llegaron a ser identificados realmente.
With Calvary.
Con el Calvario.
Amen. Because the message of the hour.
Porque el mensaje de la hora.
The atonement.
La expiación.
The revelation of the Son of Man.
La revelación del hombre.
Which is lifted up.
Que fue levantada.
It's not something just to polish up.
No es algo que tenemos que pulir.
It's not a little ornament.
No es un ornamento.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've seen that people today.
De hoy,
they want to make a little idol out of it.
Quieren hacer un ídolo de todo esto.
But let me say this tonight.
As
we close these meetings, when you are living in defeat, a faithless life that cannot receive or be fully identified with what God has made available to us, if this is not being made actual in your experience to show forth his victory and the reason of his death, then you are making the cross an idol. Those people in Moses' time, they passed out from under the dominion of death. They came back into life that they had before they were bitten by the serpent. In the second Exodus, they pass out from under the dominion of death. They come back into the Holy Ghost life, into the power of God. Amen! And in the third Exodus, there must be a people. They will become real in the experience also. Amen! If that is not really the experience, that is just a little ornament. Amen. If a man is preaching some little intellectual conception, or some little well-worn explanation, they're just reforming people instead of them dying out to the world and receiving the new birth, then that man is making the cross an idol. If he's only getting to join a church, and that as far as he's bringing them, and they've been reformed and become churchy, he's crucifying the effects of the cross. If there's a group that is still under the dominion of sin and fear and being overcome by the world, and yet they claim that the Son of Man has been revealed, that he has been lifted up in the midst, and they still cannot walk in victory, then they have been deceived, and the message has become an idol. Amen. This is an age of
idolatry. Amen. Friend, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to be truthful. Moses saw his people dying. He knew why they was dying. The serpent poison was inside of them. When a man sees people dying, why are they dying spiritually? In the old nature. Amen. Is there something? For them to pass out from under the dominion, from that old nature, and come into the divine nature. Sure, there is. What is it? The Son of Man must be lifted up. And if a man is afraid to preach that, say the seventh seal is not open, the seventh tongue is not revealed, he's trying to make the message an idol. Because you have to lift up that atonement. You have to raise up that Son of Man to bring life and victory. Amen. Glory. It's an age of idolatry. Many people have all kinds of idols today. Movie idols, fashion idols, music idols, sports idols. Amen. They know a lot about their idols. It's amazing people can tell about this footballer and all that he does. Oh, they can tell you all about a certain singer and what song to sing. Oh, they can tell you all about a movie star. And yet they don't know them personally. They even emulate the dress. They act like them. They talk like them. Amen. And so many today, they have a message idol too. Because they take the message from out of all the denominations. They choose the message. It's the religious idol. It's a religious fan club. It's a society to them. That we get around and we tell stories. How much miracles take place in this message? How many places around the world have this message? But the message doesn't live in them. They don't really know the message. They don't really know the message. Amen. Idolatry is a deceiving thing. Hezekiah. He saw something happening among his people. Instead of they approaching that brass serpent, the atonement that the prophet lifted up for the people who was bitten by the serpent to come into victory and true life. He was seeing his people now relating to it in a different way that they all related it originally. The same nation in another season relating to the same thing that they were so sincere with one time. Not just a little ornament. Isn't that a Bible? It wasn't another nation, but the same nation. The prophet was off the scene, but they had the atonement the prophet lifted up. The prophet is off the scene, but we have the atonement. Same message, people. Brother Brown talked about them people coming in the prayer line. The woman said, I have to die, let me die in the prayer line. He talked about the people in Mexico City. They were there since 9 o'clock in the morning. In the hot sun waiting. He talked about them in Africa. Amen. He talked about the people couldn't wait for the doors to open. He talked about the time when the tabernacle was sawdust in the
floor. They get down there and cry and wallow in disorders. But then what happened afterwards? You see that today? It's a little ornament today. They're relating to it different now. Amen. They're making idolatry out of it. Amen. And Hezekiah took the courage to mash up the pieces. Amen. Glory. And let me tell you, it was his father. Ahaz. A man named Ahaz. If you read his history in the Bible, when you go home, read it. It's in the 16th chapter of 2 Kings. He was the one who loosed the spirit of idolatry. It was bound for many years. No man dare commit no nonsense. But then you get a good mixer sometimes. And he tried to make a true man of God look like a legalist. He wants to allow certain things. He said nothing wrong if it just cut you here a little bit. After all, if it's breaking up in the ends, trim it. Amen. It's nothing wrong if you wear a little chain or something. He said, if you have to go out in the yard, you can wear a culotte. Amen. He said, after all, you have to have your balance. Because I saw a picture. And the prophet's wife had all this necklace. And I saw a picture of his children. And they had all his sleeveless dresses. So it's okay, get away. Amen. And when they begin to open the floodgate, worldliness begin to sweep through the church. Begin to spread like an epidemic. Amen. And Hezekiah rose up. And he watched the attitude of the people. And he read Numbers 21. He says something is wrong. They're relating to this thing the same way. And he mashed the thing up in pieces. Because what happened today? The message is a good commodity. Men is becoming smart. We can market this thing. We can get a profit by it. We're going to put a nice cover on the books. We're going to do this thing a little better. We're going to polish it up now. We're going to make it so attractive than the whole world would want to look in the study and line off there in the bookshelf. It's no longer something to put in the heart no more. Amen. It's something to put in the bookshelf. Make your place look attractive. Line up all the tapes. It don't matter whether we listen to them or not. Amen. We're going to dress it up nice. It's something that have a great historical past. Great historical significance. This was brought to us by a prophet. Amen. I can imagine with some man back there who looked at the brass serpent, had some dust on it. Had some dust and cobwebs. Amen. And he said, it's not looking too nice. Because Ahaz had went up to another country. And when he went to Assyria, they had a nice altar. And the Bible said,
he got the blueprint of it. And he sent a message back to his high priest. He said, I want you to build one just like this. And the Bible said, before he even got back to his homeland, the priest had already built it. And he called it the great altar. He said, from now on, we'll offer all sacrifice on this altar. And we'll use the brass altar for something else. And he took the brass lever. And he removed all the base from it. And he began to change it around and move it from its position. What was happening? He was influenced. Maybe he went to Oral Roberts University and Tommy Osborne School. And in fact, we're not running the message the way we ought to run it. The reason that these people are bigger than us, they have more administrators. They have it in a better package. They know how to attract the crowds with it. So we want to compete with them. Oh my, so they get the brass serpent. We're going to polish it up with some brass. Have it shiny nice. We're going to get a glass case and put over it. We're going to get a special stand to put on it. We'll call it the brass serpent shrine. Amen. So people can come and visit it. We have a tour guide. They will tell them all about it. People will stand next to it and have the photograph taken. We'll make little brass souvenirs. We'll make it in the tie pins and earrings and belt buckles and bumper stickers. Amen. Then we'll have little stalls. And we'll have candles and incense that they could buy when they come. And they could burn one to it. We'll give it a name. We'll call it Nehushtan. Amen. The Bible says they give it a name. And they burn incense to it. And maybe they make a little documentary video on it. So we can export it to other countries. That people who can't come to the brass serpent shrine. Like you do in the Holy Land. Amen. You can look at the pictures. And you can hear a narrator explaining everything about it. We'll get somebody with a nice, clear voice who can speak and move the people and talk about how God spoke to the prophet and where the prophet got the brass from and the name of the man who molded it. We'll put a little booklet on it. Amen. Glory. We'll advertise it. Amen. The inspiration was taking them into something commercial and something religious instead of something spiritual. Amen. And the spirit of idolatry began to move among them. And when God saw that the people's minds were being channeled in the wrong direction and the people was relating to this God-given blessing in the wrong way. Amen. And that the emphasis was now being put on the wrong inspired Hezekiah to break it to pieces. To kill the effect of the spirit of idolatry that had subtly infiltrated Judah and diverting the people from the original objective. The way that the prophet had them relating to it. Amen! Moses had them relating to it a certain way. Amen. Glory. What a time it is. But as we look and we see, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent, as Paul, after he met the pillar of fire too, and he lifted up the brass serpent, and he cried out, "Oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where's your victory? This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. We will pass back into the lies that we had before the serpent bite us." And that same thing has come back for him. Let us not relate to it the wrong way. Let us keep relating to it the original way. With the emphasis in the original place that the prophet put it when the prophet was here. Amen. The same people with the same atonement in another season was crucifying the effects. And the people's minds was being channeled into a commercial thing, into a religious thing, into a superstitious thing, and not something with faith to bring them back in the full dominion. Amen. The Son of Man is being lifted up in this hour. Lift him up in this hour. Amen. And may God's people, when you see you have a shepherd that will lift up that atonement, you look and live. Hallelujah! Amen. Because God has sent that among you that you can come back into dominion over death and over sin. It could be your footstool. It will not reign over you. It will not overcome you. Because you have seen God provided me. Have you seen it? Do you believe it? Amen. Let us all stand up for Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. What a tremendous hour it is. It's a great time to be a believer. Amen. When we see what the Holy Spirit is doing in this late hour, in not many places, friend. There's not many places you can find the blessing and feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit as you have among you. Keep walking in the word. Keep it the way it is spoken in the message. Let's not drift it to the right nor to the left. Amen. And you watch and see. God will bring it to pass. Many are falling away today. Many are going in different directions. The prophet said, don't try to put it on a new cart. Don't try to make it any bigger than it is. Don't try to make it any littler than it is. He said, just keep the bride in step. Just keep it the way God gave it. He is the author and he is the finisher. May God richly bless you. I've really been strengthened and encouraged by preaching to you and seeing your attitude towards the word and the presence that I felt to bring it to you. I trust you have received it in the depths of your heart. Amen. The only objective I have is to see you walk closer to him. I come here to give support and help strengthen your faith, standing as a fellow laborer with your pastors that you have here in this country and those who have visited. Putting my shoulder with theirs to the wheel to help encourage, even to be a confirmation, amen, that what they are speaking to you is the truth. I'm sure, I am positive and sure that the things that have been spoken, it may just come a different way, because we all express it in a different angle. But it's nothing new. It's what they have spoken to you. Amen. It's what they believe. Amen. So may we press on from here. In not many more days, friend. Let us keep the faith. Let us fight the good fight. Let us be determined to finish our course with joy. Like the Apostle Paul said, I count not my life dear to me, but only that I might finish my course with joy. Whether in life or in death, that Christ would be magnified in my body. Amen. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Amen. As we bow our heads for a word of prayer, Almighty God, it's been wonderful, Father. I thank you for the blessing and the joys of the Holy Spirit that we were able to share in this great feast around your word, as we sat around your table and you have broken the bread and given it unto us. Our eyes are opened, our heart is rejoicing, our faith is inspired, our lives are strengthened, we feel rooted and grounded. We want to rededicate our lives to you. We want to walk closer to you. Bless all your servants. Bless all the people. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. We give all glory and all honor and all praise. Keep these under your wings, Lord, and all that is connected with them. In the secret of thy presence, until Jesus comes to take them away. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God wish to bless you. Amen. You pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We feel a special bond in our hearts with you. I really love you in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
Solo la mano, usted sabe, la manera tradicional. No, hermano, o sea, hay una manera provista por Dios. Sí, Señor. Así que el Hijo del Hombre está siendo levantado en esta hora. Oh, bendito el Señor, hermanos. El Mesías, palabra. Así que miremos, hermanos, miremos, miremos, pongamos nuestra mirada hacia esa genuina y verdadera expiación. Y viviremos. Y obtendremos la victoria. Sí, Señor, y seremos transformados. No simplemente reformados, sino regenerados completamente. Porque es poder de Dios para salvación. A todo aquel que cree, hermano. Sí, Señor, y se agarra con el corazón, hermano. Se agarra la palabra con fe. Y entra en una expectativa creciente, en una expectativa genuina. No simplemente ahí una confesión de labio, sino una genuina expectativa, hermanos. El rapto está para acontecer. Esa resurrección de los santos viene en el momento. Nuestra transformación, hermanos. Así que tiene que haber una expectativa en nosotros. Sí, Señor. Él ha enviado su ángel para confirmarnos, hermanos, en esta noche. ¡Aleluya! ¡Aleluya! Lo que debe de ser, hermanos. Lo que es el nuevo nacimiento. Así que descanse en la palabra. Descanse en esa palabra ungida para esta hora. Pues agárrese de ella, hermano. Sí, Señor, créala con todo su corazón. Con fe, con expectativa. Y eso traerá verdadera liberación. Y no ande conjeturando, no ande argumentando, sino simplemente crea, hermano. Sí, Señor. Y tórnese humilde. Tórnese sencillo, dócil a la palabra. Sí, Señor, y Dios canalizará sus bendiciones a través del siervo que Él tiene al frente de ese rebaño. Gloria al Señor. Bendecimos el nombre del Señor. Oh, Dios bendiga nuestro precioso hermano Vindia, nuestro precioso hermano Díaz. Hermano, ha sido un tremendo tiempo, ciertamente. Gloria al Señor. Y no tenemos palabras para expresar nuestra gratitud. Si queremos que ellos lleven nuestros saludos y nuestro amor en el Señor, hermanos, a los santos de Trinidad. Y estamos, creo, somos uno, ¿verdad? Estamos unidos en el Espíritu. Estaremos orando por ellos y que ellos también oren por nosotros. Gloria al Señor. Vamos a entonar un canto. Solo el poder de Dios puede cambiar tu ser. Sí, Señor. No se trata de un programa de reforma, usted sabe. Moral o intelectual o religiosa o lo que sea, no, es poder de Dios para transformar, hermano, para cambiarnos, para regenerarnos. Poder de la palabra ungida para la obra. Sí, Señor, solo el poder de Dios puede cambiar.
La prueba yo te doy.
estamos aquí, hermanos, contando números, y usted sabe, hermanos, y si no, usted sabe, en el mundo religioso, hermanos, ve allí, entrevistan a la gente y le dicen, bueno, ¿acepta usted a Cristo? Y la gente, hermano, responde de alguna manera, y ya luego ellos toman nota de eso, envían sus reportes, etcétera. Pero eso no significa absolutamente nada. Sí, Señor. Pero el nuevo nacimiento, hermanos, trae manifestación.
Una vez más, ya, bueno, nos vamos a despedir, hermanos. Yo quisiera que alguno de los hermanos del Salvador pasara para que orara ya finalmente, y de esta manera quedáramos despedidos, y quisiéramos pasarnos a todos, pero el tiempo, ¿verdad?, es limitante. Hermano Mario Salvador, hermano Lito, hermano Sarabia, hermano Aníbal, hermano Víctor, pero vamos a pedirle al hermano Lito, que por favor pase, mientras cantamos una vez más el canto, para luego ir saliendo. Hermanos, estaremos recordando, pero no solamente un recuerdo mental, sino hermanos, algo aquí en nuestro corazón. No solamente bueno que estuvieron lindos los cultos, y bueno, y que vinieron hermanos, y qué cosa, como el hermano vino, Salvador, no, hermanos, tiene que ser algo aquí en el corazón. Aquí estará esa palabra, hermanos. No regresará vacía. Producirá el efecto para lo cual ha sido enviada en esta tierra. Sí, Señor, porque ha sido Dios en la escena. Bendito Señor. Antes de quitar el canto, madre mía, me recordó. Vamos a tener cultos, hermanos, hasta el viernes. Vamos a estar nuevamente las dos congregaciones juntas, viernes y luego el domingo. Y creo que los hermanos de Nicaragua estarán con nosotros. Vamos a suspender el servicio del miércoles. Y espero que usted entonces esté todos estos días. Esperamos que ustedes estén, ¿verdad?, rumiando, por así decir, los mensajes, y luego venir el viernes para nuevamente, hermano, recibir la palabra del Señor.
Martes, hermano,
no habrá reuniones de oración. Vamos a suspender el martes y miércoles, hermanos, y entonces estaremos aquí hasta el viernes. ¿Entendidos? Si algunos hermanos de aquí, de algunos lugares cerca, desean estar con nosotros durante esos cultos, son bienvenidos. Hermano de Talanga, hermano de la Ermita, de Palmerola, son bienvenidos, ¿verdad? Gloria al Señor. Ha sido una verdadera fiesta.
Gloria.
Bendito el Señor. Vamos a... Pasa, hermano Lito, perdón, hermano. Si nuestro hermano desea expresar algo, que lo siente en su corazón y lo haga, y luego nos despida con palabras de oración.
Aleluya.
Cantamos el canto y quedamos despedidos, y enviamos saludos allá a Primera. Enviamos saludos también a los hermanos en El Salvador, en Nicaragua, y a los diferentes lugares de donde han venido hermanos ministros del interior del país. Luego, después de salir, por favor, todos los pastores, ¿verdad?, hermanos que colaboran también en el Ministerio de la Predicación, si pueden venir rápidamente para tomar una fotografía. Muy bien, Dios les bendiga, hermano.
Dios les bendiga, hermano. Doy gracias al Señor por concederme una vez más, hermanos, el privilegio y honor de estar en este lugar y poder ver a cada uno de ustedes. Preciosos hermanos, y por esta bendición de su palabra que nos ha concedido. Realmente, hermanos, creo que el Señor nos ha dado un ultimátum. Verdaderamente debemos de pararnos delante del Señor con verdadero temor y temblor, ¿verdad? Reconociendo que debemos tomar delante de Él una posición definida, ¿verdad? Sinceramente, hermanos, delante de Dios. Realmente, hermanos, yo puedo ver, hermanos, el Señor me ha permitido venir en esta oportunidad. De una manera muy clara me lo ha probado. Y reconozco, hermanos, que Dios me ha hablado directamente a mí. ¿Verdad? Así que, y creo que cada uno de ustedes, hermanos, quiero expresar mi gratitud por su amor, por su aprecio, por su hospitalidad. Bueno, no podría decir especialmente a alguien, porque realmente a todos los considero igualmente especiales, hermanos. Así que mi gratitud es para todos, de parte mía, y también, pues, de parte de mis hermanos, hemos venido del Salvador, hermanos. Dios les bendiga y Dios les pague. Vamos a orar, hermanos. Padre bondadoso, te agradecemos, Señor. Porque, Padre, tú nos has hablado de una manera muy clara, de una manera accesible. Hemos podido verlo. Reconocemos, Señor, y Padre, solamente te pedimos, Señor, que abras nuestros corazones a tu palabra, Señor, que ella se quede en nosotros, Señor, Padre, y que ella obtenga el propósito por el cual fue enviada. Thank you.
Gloria a Dios. Qué bueno es el Señor, qué bueno es.